Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. At this time, the call is being recorded. If we have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin conference. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome to everybody to our council meeting today. We'll start off with Glenn doing a roll call. Go ahead, Glenn.
Certainly, Chuck. Thank you. Chuck Gomes.
Here.
Caroline Greer.
Here.
Edmund Chun. Adrian Kinderis is absent, sent his apologies. Tim Ruiz.
Here.
Stefan Van Felder.
Here.
Terry Davis. Zahid Jamil has sent his apologies. He will not be on the call. Mike Rodenbach.
Here.
Christina Rosette. David Taylor.
Yeah, here.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben.
Here.
Jamie Wagner.
Present.
Rafik Damak. Rafik. We are having some difficulty calling out to Rafik. William Drake.
Here.
Debbie Hughes. We're also having difficulty calling out to Debbie Hughes. Sorry, was that you, Debbie? Wendy Seltzer?
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Here.
Mary Wong?
Yes, I'm here.
Andrei Kolesnikov? Not here. Alan Greenberg?
Here.
Han Chan Lee? I think we've got Han Chan, but he might be on. Thank you.
Yes.
And we have as a guest Lisa Pfeiffer and Steve Sheng. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Marika Koenig, Stan Halloran, Craig Schwartz, Rob Hogarth, David Olive, Dan Halloran, and have I left off anybody? Julie Headland and Rob Hogarth. And Glenda sent me myself. Yes?
Glenn, this is Olga.
Sorry, Olga. Yes, of course. We have Olga, too.
Thank you, Olga.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chuck. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. And again, welcome to everybody on today's meeting. Does anyone have a statement of interest to update? Okay. Going on then to the agenda, any comments or suggestions for changes on the agenda? Very well. The last item under administrative matters is the minutes, and you can just call attention there that the minutes for our 10 March meeting will automatically be approved if there are no suggested changes on the 3rd of April, which will be on Saturday. The 15 March special meeting minutes were automatically approved on the 26th of March, and you can find links to both of those on the agenda. So having taken care of item one, we'll move to item two, the vertical integration PDP, and we will start off with a status report from Stefan. Go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. Hi, everyone. I don't want to go back and restate what I said in the report I sent to the council. I don't want to waste council's time. So I'll move straight into the question of Objective 5. Just to remind everybody that at our last meeting, the council asked the working group to come back in time for this meeting with either one finalized proposal for Objective 5 or two alternatives, and then it would be up to the council to choose. This was attempted, but the working group was unable to actually reach definitive consensus on a final version of Objective 5. There was a vote, more of a poll taken, and that showed a slight majority of people favoring a deletion, an outright deletion of Objective 5. The logic behind that being that the group at this stage would rather stop discussing what they want to do with Objective 5 and wasting time on that, or not wasting, but taking time up on that, and just get on with the real work. So the situation that they've left us with, and what they've asked me as council liaison to do, is to come back to the council and say, really, it's up to us. Well, either the suggestions that have been made are to either decide to delete Objective 5, defer any decision to a later time, and let the working group get on with the rest of the work, or decide ourselves on a definitive version of Objective 5, which may be difficult to do within the time constraints of this meeting. That really is the main point of discussion at this stage. Just to give you a short update on what else is happening in the working group, for those of you who haven't seen my report, two co-chairs have been elected, Roberto Gaetano and Mikey O'Connor, and they have started work with a weekly meeting being scheduled for the group at a set time, and that work is started 2 weeks ago, so there's been two weekly meetings. So the group started discussing its basic work format and the Objective 5 issue that I've just described. Happy to answer any further questions, and if there aren't any, then perhaps we'll move the discussion on to Objective 5.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Stefan. Bill, thanks for calling attention to Rafiq, the call not reaching Rafiq. I believe they're still trying because that was noted before we actually started the recording. So, Glenn, I assume that they're still trying to reach Rafiq. Thank you. Okay, so we have some of you earlier in the week on a different call heard me say that I was somewhat amused to find the working group following the board's example and punting on an issue. So it's now been punted to us on Objective 5. So does anybody want to talk about that in terms of the various options? You can either raise your hand in Adobe Connect or speak up and I'll put you in a queue.
Well, it's Wolf speaking.
May go I? Ahead, Wolf.
Well, it's just a question for the correct understanding, Stefan. So, did I understand that there may be the case that you, for an interim charter, you may leave the Objective 5 scope until the council may come to a decision on that, or I didn't catch that very, very correctly. That's my question.
Stefan, do you want to respond to that? Do you want me to respond?
I can, whatever, Chuck, whatever you want. I can respond to it.
Go ahead.
Wolf, was the question you were asking was what has the working group asked us to do or punted to us to do?
Yes. Or what will happen in case we cannot come to an agreement, you know, about these Objective 5? What does it mean?
That's obviously been discussed within the working group. It was discussed in the last call, and there, I think the basic non-official consensus decision that they took was that if there was no decision on Objective 5 from us, they would defer, they would carry on with the rest of the work, and they would go back to Objective 5 at a later date. So, in short, that means that if we are unable to come to a decision on objective five, then it's the equivalent of choosing the second option that I mentioned earlier on, which was to defer.
Okay. And if I may, one additional question, Chuck?
Sure. Wolf, go ahead.
Well, does it mean so that we have the same status as it was at Nairobi at the end of the first draft team meeting, or is there any movement? Has there been any movement in between? So with the different positions on the question of objective five.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf. That's a very good question. I omitted to mention that the objective five has not moved in official wording since the Nairobi meeting, which followed the immediately followed the council meeting, which was the first official meeting of the working group. As it stands, the objective five, the main objective five, is still the one that we would need to go on. Is still the one that's in the charter, and there's a link provided to that on the agenda for this meeting. What you have in that charter is one principal version and an alternative.
In fact, there are two alternatives that vary just slightly.
The second alternative is actually the BC one. It's been a fairly complex discussion, as any of you who have followed it will know. But these two objectives came out of the drafting team that I coordinated and that was found it difficult to find to come to a consensus on the objective five, but decided that there would be one main or principal objective five, and the alternate one was really the IPC version. But the BC version was different, so that was in there as well. Since then, and in Nairobi, the group took the main version of the Objective 5 and started redrafting that. So, Wolf, if my memory is correct, you were in the Nairobi meeting, in the Nairobi VI meeting, and you saw that there was an attempt to redraft Objective 5. At this stage, there's no definitive version. So that makes our job, and that's what I was saying earlier on in my report, if our intent tonight is to try and come up with a definitive version of Objective 5, I think that's going to be very difficult. And basically, the only options that I would see, if just to give my opinion, would be either to defer or to delete. I think it would be difficult to reword.
May I?
Mike, please.
Thank you. There's obviously a huge difference between the two formulations of Objective 5. The one that is, let's say, the principal one here, since it's not in a footnote, is basically a yes or no question. It's a question that everybody on this call could already answer. The obvious answer is yes. So it's a pretty ridiculous objective for a working group, but whatever. I've been in this working group. I've been following the mail list very closely, and it's obvious that the group is going to be discussing the possible effects of changes in the current restrictions on the retail and markets, retail and wholesale markets for domain names. Very obvious. That's pretty much all we're going to be talking about in the working group. So I think that this entire discussion is basically a waste of time. Let's just move on and let the group do its work.
Thank you, Mike. You're saying something that I've been thinking a lot about myself, and that is that it doesn't seem reasonable to expect that we would ever develop any policy, and I don't think we've done this in the past either, where we don't consider the impact on the various parties that it might impact. So it's not like I think you're saying, Mike. I don't understand why we're arguing about this. Are there people that don't want to consider the impacts?
There are people that thought that it would take too much time, that would require some sort of formal study. I believe that was Tim's objection to it, Stefan's, and some others. I think the reality is that everyone in the group realizes that that's what this group is all about.
I don't, again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm speaking personally here, not as chair. I don't understand how we could develop a policy without considering the impacts. That would be a very poor approach, in my opinion. Am I missing something there?
Yeah, this is Tim. Could I get in the queue?
Sure, Tim. Go ahead. And then Alan, after you.
Yeah, I think the concern I have with it is how do we do that? And I'm not, you know, we're going down the road of something that will be completely new. We haven't done it, or to a very limited degree. And you might have .pro out there that might have some examples, or, I don't know. But I think it's going to be difficult to determine with any sort of certainty what the impacts are going to be. We could probably come up with all sorts of possible impacts. But it seemed to me in the past when we've done this kind of policy work that the impact analysis came somewhat later from statements from the different stakeholder groups or constituencies, or was evaluated further during the implementation period once the policy was approved. I just hate to see us spend a lot of time on an exercise that's not going to come up with anything definitive other than to say, here's all the possibilities, and is that really going to get us somewhere? When I think that the huge group that we have as a part of this PDP, if there's consensus within this group on a particular policy, I mean, isn't that what we're really looking for? That's what this is about, a bottom-up process where there's consensus from the bottom up on what the policy should be. And then I think in this particular case, looking at the impacts as, at least as a later effort, seems to make more sense, or possibly even during, as part of the implementation aspect of it.
I'll come back to that in a minute, but Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think initially one of the major problems was there were certain people who felt that since we could not do studies in the time frame we're talking about, which would come up with definitive, high-probability answers, we shouldn't do anything at all. Others, and I was among them, said something close to what you said. How can we develop policy without even thinking about the impact? In the last 24 hours or so, there's been a discussion on the fact that we have to look at the impact, and yes, we may not have definitive studies, but that has to be one of the major focuses of the PDP, of the working group, regardless of whether we can do formal studies, regardless of whether we have economists standing behind what we're saying. So there's an increasing belief that we will have to look at the impact, albeit without necessarily any formal methodology to do it at this point.
And Tim, to your point, thanks, Alan. I'm not aware of a policy development process where we've intentionally put off the impact consideration to the implementation stage. It is true that in implementation stages we have discovered impacts we may not have fully appreciated before, but I don't think we ever intentionally delayed looking at the impacts to a point after we recommended a policy. Now, it's also true, I believe, that it's not a perfect science. It's not as if the working group would be expected to have a perfect analysis of impacts. I think where my concern is that anybody that thinks we can do policy without at least trying to do our best job at analyzing impacts, I as a counselor, when it comes back to me, I'm going to ask about impacts. And if those haven't been covered, I'm going to say, hey, we need to do more work.
If I can just respond.
Sure, Tim.
Sure. Well, first of all, I find it difficult to recall a policy process that we've engaged in that with a charter that had something like that so specifically called out. So, you know, obviously, I mean, as we're discussing these issues, the impact is going to be on everyone's mind, and it's certainly going to be a part of the discussion. There's no way that that could be avoided. I agree with that. But I think what concern is, you know, some of the options being considered here, you know, determine the possible effects of potential changes to the current restrictions and or practices concerning registrar separation and equivalent non-discriminatory access contained in the options set out in VAG version 3. I mean, that's very specific and in detailed and can be very engrossing for the group to get involved in and still end up coming up with just basically a bunch of possibilities that I think can be adequately considered as the rest of the work is done, which is what I think we've done before. I don't think we've necessarily spelled out, you know, here's how to look at the impact or here's what you have to do to look at the impact. It was a part of the work that went forward. It wasn't spelled out as, you know, a several weeks long process that was engaged in before the work started. So, you know, looking at the impacts, I understand that it's the particular process that's being called for to do it here that concerns me.
Okay, thank you. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. So my primary concern, I think Mike voiced part of it, is that the working group should not take further time in squabbling over Objective 5, but should really get on with the substance of the work. I think as the council, I agree with Stefan that it would probably be very difficult for us to start hashing out Objective 5 today, so I would be hesitant to see the council the council's actions or lack of action delay the working group in its action. So my question, I think, ultimately is, and Chuck, I agree with you too about the, you know, the policy and the impact question. But my question, maybe for Stefan as the liaison, is there a sense in the working group that the kind of work they're going to do is going to be quite different depending on whether or not they have an Objective 5?
Thank you, Mary. That's a good point. Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Mary made the first part of my point for me, which was I really do think that we don't want to take up too much time discussing this, and I know that the working group have had enough with this discussion. So really, I think we may need to find out, you know, to get an idea from the people here if everyone would be comfortable with the idea of deleting Objective 5, or if not, would they rather defer the any decision. I would add, though, that in my opinion, saying, you know, opting to defer is actually doing the working group a disservice at this stage. But I will obviously, you know, not everyone may be comfortable with just deleting that objective. One suggestion that we could make is just to follow along the lines of what Chuck was saying earlier on, is perhaps to delete the objective but include a proviso that at some point, if there is a policy that comes out, this working group, that the effects of that policy need to be evaluated in some way. Now, that language may be sufficiently vague that people would be comfortable with deleting the objective at this stage and moving on.
Thanks, Stefan. Jamie.
I would say that Stefan puts things very well. As far as this call is concerned, we have to make a decision on whether to delete or defer. And I would not be very comfortable with deleting an impact analysis. I think the obvious vote of the majority will be to defer this and not to stop the working group work. And they can proceed, and this can be worked to achieve reasonable wording that satisfies everybody, because I don't know if the after Nairobi there was a meeting of the working group to tackle this problem of reaching some rephrasing that would fit all interests. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Mike.
Similar to Jamie, I certainly don't support deleting the objective. I think it's a compromise to leave it in the way it is now. I don't think that's any disservice to the working group at all. The working group is going to go off on its plan, regardless, really, of what we do at this point with this objective. So I think we should just go ahead and leave it as it is and let the group do its work.
Caroline.
My preference would be not to satisfied. I agree with what Jamie and others have said. I really do think that this analysis needs to be done. You know, it's very important to do this study. And in fact, you know, probably even go further and looking at the wording of Objective 5, not only look at the information that is being collected by ICANN to date, but, you know, possibly look at some other information that is out there. But I do think it's important that this is done. I mean, I do wonder if it's possible that the group can continue some of its work while it's being done in parallel. I don't know if this is, you know, something that halts work.
Thank you, Caroline. Are you finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let me throw something out. By the way, I'm sympathetic and supportive of the fact that we should let the working group, you know, get to the real substance of the work rather than spending more time on this particular issue. So, and what I'm hearing, and I want to test this with everyone on the call because maybe I'm wrong, is that maybe we could make a much simpler formulation of Objective 5. And I'll throw one out and just to get reaction, okay? And here's what it is, and I'm sure it can be worded better, but for any policy recommendations considered, determine as best as possible the possible impacts of those recommendations on all impacted parties and evaluate whether those could be mitigated sufficiently to justify the recommendations. Now, I'm sure somebody could do a better job at that, but I'm trying to simplify it. One of the things that concerned me about all the formulations of Objective 5 was that it just talks about reviewing existing documents. What happens if all of a sudden we discover an impact that isn't covered in the existing documents? Do we ignore that? I don't think so. We want to do as good a job as possible. So anyway, I throw that out as a simple compromise just to get reaction. Any thoughts on that? I see Tim. Is your hand still up, or was that different before?
No, my hand is a new hand.
Good. Go for it.
Actually, I wanted to reply before that. I was wondering if you could repeat what you just said. That what I was going to say was that just that I agree that we don't have to delete 5. That if there was a way that, you know, this working group can just move forward with what it needs to do, and we could look at Objective 5 later and make sure that concerns about considering the impact have been met and whatever throughout the work of what I was going to suggest. But I guess I didn't quite catch everything that you just said, Chuck. I wonder if you could repeat what you're suggesting.
Sure. I'll read it again. And again, I'm really open to modifications to it. For any policy recommendations considered, determine as best as possible the impacts of those recommendations on impacted parties and evaluate whether those could be mitigated sufficiently to justify the recommendations. And I would accept edits to that. The idea is, hey, if you do come up with some ideas, take a look at the impacts and let's see, you know, do we still want to make the recommendations? That's basically what I'm saying. Now, I think I got to switch screens here. Alan.
I can live with just putting the whole thing on the table for a while and coming back to it at our next meeting, perhaps. I can also easily accept what you're saying with some modifications. Your use of the word impact implies negative impact because mitigate.
Yeah, that's true.
Implies
yeah.
Negative. I would simply say impacts and benefits or negative impacts and benefits on all parties and leave it at that.
I would be perfectly comfortable with that. Now, there's, go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. Just to answer the question that you asked, I would be much more comfortable personally if we did find a solution tonight. Going your route sounds like a solution, so maybe we should, you know, we should take 5 or 10 more minutes to look at that. But once again, and I know Mike may disagree with me from what he said earlier on, but I think this has gone on too long, and the discussion around this, having lived through it both in the drafting team and the working group, and I think, you know, if we just keep on punting, everyone just keeps on punting this. At some point, you know, there's a decision that needs to be taken, and I don't see why it should be easier to do that at the next council meeting.
Okay. Does anybody object to us taking hopefully not more than 5 more minutes to try and come up with a simple formulation of an Objective 5 along the lines that I suggested with the recommendations suggested by Alan and anybody else for that matter? And anybody object to that?
Chuck, it's Mike. I definitely do not object. I just wonder if we can get the text up on the Adobe.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. I wanted to see whether there was any objection. So, Marika, can you put the text up, and I'll go through it again. Maybe I'll go through it again, and Alan will help me with the things I missed that he said, okay? For any policy recommendations considered, tell me when you're ready.
Go. You should see it there now, so just go ahead and I'll type it in there.
Oh, okay, I got it. Determine as best as possible the negative impacts and benefits of those recommendations. And did you want to stop there, Alan?
I would probably say either stop there or to say to all interested parties or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, and I had said on all impacted parties, so that's fine. And then stop there, is that what you suggested?
I said either all interested parties or just stop there.
Okay. And then just leave it at that. Now, let me go back to the other screen. So it's up in front of all of us.
Chuck, can I, Stefan again?
Go ahead, Stefan.
Thanks. Can I just ask, I know Marika's doing this on the fly. What we're seeing in that little square, is that the final, the full proposed version now? Or is that just the last sentence?
Yeah, I believe it is, although we're still discussing it, so we can change that.
Thanks.
Yes, it's okay.
I'm sorry, this is Tim. Can I?
Yes, Tim, go ahead.
Okay.
It's fine.
But right now it says, for any policy recommendations considered, determine as best as possible the negative impacts and benefits of those recommendations. Okay.
Right. I don't think you need the word considered.
Just a second, one person at a time. Go ahead, sorry. Tim. Were you finished?
I think I answered my own question. I was just a little confused by the combination of the word considered and determined there. I think I get it now. I'm trying to figure out how it could be a little clearer. But
yeah, you might want to put a comma after considered. That might help. Does that help?
There we go. That does it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, did I hear? Mary's in the queue and then Alan.
Just real quickly, I'm not sure we need the word negative before impacts.
Well, if we just a question for you on that regard, you may be right. If we take out negative, then we probably don't need and benefits either, do we?
Right, that's true.
So it could say, for any policy recommendations considered, determine as best as possible the impacts of those recommendations, period.
Or the potential impacts.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Potential's good.
Chuck, Stefan again.
Just a second, Alan.
I would have thought impact has a negative connotation, but I haven't actually checked the dictionary definition of it. But back on the word considered, I don't think we actually need or want the word considered. We're not asking them to evaluate all policy considerations they considered, just the ones they're recommending.
Well, that may be okay. My own person, this is a personal view, again, not chair view. I don't think I'd want to, make a recommendation until I consider the impacts. Now, I may do a more in-depth consideration of, evaluation of impacts after I go in a direction that might be a recommendation.
Okay, I can live with it.
Okay.
Did you see Wendy's note?
Was that Stefan that wanted to?
Yeah. Is it me?
Yes.
I just to say that I do like the objective as written there. You need a full stop at the end, obviously, but apart from that, I think it does achieve what objectives we're trying to set with this, so I like it. I hope we can move on.
Okay. And then, Alan, are you still in the queue?
No.
Okay. Tim?
I just wanted to voice agreement with something Wendy Seltzer was suggesting on the chat. She was suggesting that... for any recommendations considered, determine to the extent reasonably possible in the time given the potential impacts of those recommendations. I would support that if others would.
Jamie?
I would suggest to use the direct sentence to begin with, determine as best as possible the potential impact of any policy recommendations. And also, I would add on any interest that are affected parties.
I'm not sure I understand the changes you're recommending, Jamie. Could you be more specific?
Yes, first is a question of style. I would use the direct sentence. Determine as best as possible the potential impact of any policy recommendation.
Oh, that's got it. Yeah, okay. That's good.
But I would also add at the end on any affected or interested parties.
Okay. Marika, can you capture that? Just move the for any policy recommendations considered to the end, and then a little addition. Those doesn't work anymore. So we impacts of recommendations.
Any recommendation.
Yeah. So put of any instead of those. And then you don't need a comma, and you want
yep.
to, and you can take out, I think, for any policy recommendations considered, right? And then add
yep.
to impacted parties. Or was that okay? I don't think that's exactly what you said, Jamie. Does that get it?
Affected.
Any affected parties? Okay. Affected. Okay. Did that capture it, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's impact on any affected parties.
On any. Not to.
On any affected parties, do we need impact also?
No.
Okay. Tim?
Maybe... I wasn't clear about that. I'm suggesting that as best as possible be replaced with to the extent reasonably possible in the time given.
And who's given the time?
Well, we have in the...
I don't think the board set any time limit, did they?
And also,
now, we all understand there's a time limit if it's going to affect round one of new GTLDs, which obviously a lot of people
didn't we put some expectation about completion of that?
That's objective six.
Kim, I think that as best as possible, covers your specification is covered, but the more general expression as best as possible.
Chuck, can I step in?
Sure, Stefan, go ahead.
Thanks. Just to clarify that point, my understanding from the charter that we drafted in the drafting team is that there is a time in the charter that's inherently applied by the GNSO Council resolution, which gave a time. So adding the time given actually does help, because it does point to the fact that this work needs to be done in a certain specific set time rather than just being left open.
One concern I have about that is are we then saying that if we don't have enough time, we will skip some steps? And I would hope not. And that's my concern about this. And I'm not trying to cause delays or anything else. The reality of the matter is I think we need to do a good job, and if we can't do it in the time frame, then we need to use more time.
But Chuck, that's a council decision, isn't it? The initial motion has a set time. I think most people actually don't expect the working group to complete its work at time, and it would go back to council for an extension. But
That's correct. I totally agree with that.
So in that objective, as written now, you'd still have the notion of the time given, and then it's up to the council to determine that time. So it does work, in my view.
Yeah, except that I don't want to give the working group the impression that if they miss the 16-week time frame, which they will, I think that's pretty much a fact now, then we will... They should stop or try to shortcut what they're doing.
I think they'll do what they. This is Tim. I think they'll do what they always do, and that is, well, we can't reasonably consider this in the time given, so we need more time. I mean, that's what always happens. I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary.
Then Tim, I would go along with that if we add a sentence that says, if more time is needed, come back to the council.
Chuck, why don't I just take that message back to them? Does it need to be in the objective?
No.
I mean, to the extent possible, we would like all these working groups to finish within a reasonable time frame and to have some sort of schedule. I mean, that's what one of the problems was with the bylaws version of this, and why we're trying to enhance that through the PTSC. So I'd hate to institutionalize the concept that, you know, you always ask for more time. I mean, I know that's what's happened, but there's no point in setting time frames or goals if the idea is, well, they can just always be ignored.
At the same time, Tim, I wouldn't want them to think that they can skip looking at possible impacts if they run out of time. So I agree with you. I don't want what you're saying to happen. I don't want the other thing to happen either. And that's all I'm concerned about. I think we can come to, let's not spend too much more time on this. Let's try and wrap it up. I'm not going to be hard-nosed on that.
Just one other comment, Chuck. This is
sure.
And that is that there is no way that they can look at every possible impact, no matter how much time we give them. So there has to be some limit to what they look at. And it'll be up to the council to review the report and determine if enough consideration was given. But there is no way that every impact can be looked at, so some limitation has to be considered in the discussion and in what they pursue. And that's a reality.
Okay. Yeah. Alan?
Yeah, remember, from the working group's point of view, there are several different constraints One of them is the board resolution saying do it in a time frame such that it doesn't impact new GTLDs, which, of course, is an unspecified time frame, or else such and such will happen. So they can't. The working group is not in a position to completely ignore that, even though it wasn't part of the original charter that the GNSO crafted. So there are multiple things. But as I pointed out earlier, at least at the beginning of the discussion, there were people who were saying, if we don't have enough time to do it properly, we should just do it. So leaving out steps is a consideration that people have considered, whether it's on the table today or not, I'm not sure. So I don't think we can presume that. And I think as it's worded right now, or, you know, with or without the change in terms of time constraint, I think it gives the message saying trying to understand impact is important, and that was what question five was looking at.
Thank you, Alan. Wendy.
Yes. So my point in calling attention to the time is that I think that time deadlines have helped to give focus to working group activities in the past, and part of policymaking is about the trade-offs, and imposing a time deadline can help to focus people on what are the most important issues to consider, and to focus on those and leave the others, or in extraordinary circumstances indicate that there are too many to consider and flag them as issues that must still be resolved. So I'm in favor of useful constraints to focus attention.
And Wendy, to help us out on the screen there, so what exactly would you add to the end of what we have?
The change is already in there in parentheses.
That was...
I didn't even see that. Thank you. I was looking at four at the end, and it's not... Okay. All right. Thank you. That's great. Stefan.
Yeah. Just to go back to what Alan said, I don't actually agree on a personal level that the board resolution needs to impact the working group at all. The working group is a GNSO construct. It should follow the GNSO instructions. And the board resolution comes after the working group was formed. So I understand what Alan is saying, that they might find it hard to disregard what the board has said, but when drafting objectives, I don't think that should be taken into consideration. So, and just one other thing, once again, if we do come to some kind of resolution here, I do think that then my job as liaison would be to take back that objective five and to highlight what council has just said, which is, you know, if you run out of time, there is the possibility of asking for an extension, but council is asking you to try and complete your work within a set time.
Yeah, and I'm, for those that are still in the queue, I would ask you to be really brief so that we can try and take action on this. Jamie.
Oh, I just would like to emphasize that I fully agree.
Did we lose Jamie?
Sounds
Jamie?
Like it.
Okay, we'll come back to Jamie when he gets back in. Alan?
Yeah, I don't disagree with Stefan at all. I was just saying it in a different way, that from the work group's perception, it is a sword hanging over their head, whether it's in our charter or not. What I was really want to speak on is I think we need to invert two things. Should be determined as best as possible, and then the constraint about time.
Would it be okay to put the constraint about time at the end? Does that make it...
I'm not sure, but it's as best as possible modifies determine.
Yeah, gotcha. So...
Because I took past my...
Oh, you're back.
My time,
Jamie.
Limit. I thought you were head cut me because I... I thought... No.
I wish I had that power.
Well, I think that I would say that I agree with you that impact must not be overlooked by any time frame. And time frames are mainly used to create pressure. And if it is just that, they are just not respected and should not be. I mean that the constraining event or constrained event that are that is linked to the impact study is the GTLD implementation. So we don't have the necessity to put a time frame because this event is already there. And I think that the wording as best as possible covers the reasonable time consideration. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now,
Chuck, I've just put in the chat what I think is what I was recommending.
Okay, hang on. It just moved on me, and I lost it. Looks like. Okay, it's hard to stay with the chat because there's a. Oh, I guess I can scroll up, huh?
Marika just pasted it into the note.
Okay, determine as best as possible to the extent reasonable in the time given, the potential impacts of any. Recommendations on any impacted parties, and then David is going to come up here now. Determine as best as possible the potential impacts of all recommendations on any affected parties, and I think there's more coming there. Now, by the way, on Alan's, if you're going to have the comma after given, I think you need a comma after as possible as well. Otherwise, just delete the comma.
One or the other.
Yeah, either way is fine. Yeah. Now, is that all of yours, David? Determine as best as possible the potential effects of all recommendations on any affected parties.
Yeah, no, it's similar to Alan's in the fact that he's got rid of the brackets, and I'd get rid of the brackets because there's a draft. I just don't like seeing brackets.
But you left out to the extent reasonable, or it's left out on the screen anyway, to the extent reasonable in the time given. Did you still want that in there?
Yeah, I hadn't put that in. I just put some comments in there where I just said, I suggest this as I don't really like brackets in the objective. And all the objectives need to be done in the time given by default, because each of the objectives, that's the case. And then just finally saying any record.
So are you suggesting, I want to be clear, that we don't include the language to the extent reasonable in the time given?
I don't personally think so, because it's the same as Objective 7, working group shall examine relationship, if any, between VI and CO. That's the same thing in the time given. Everything's in the time given. So it just seems to be a generic thing across all objectives.
Okay. And I think Jamie was saying that he thought that as best as possible kind of covers that as well. Now, let's try and bring it to a head. Is there anybody opposed to David's? And I'm going to do this as quickly as I can. Anybody opposed to David's formulation? And please speak up. I'm not trying to jam this through unnecessarily fast. I'm just trying to reach a conclusion.
This okay. is Tim. I oppose it.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. How about Alan's?
I can live with either.
Anybody oppose Alan's? Okay. Is it okay? Anybody oppose us taking a voice vote on Alan's formulation? Okay, all in favor of Alan's formulation, please say aye.
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 If anybody is opposed, please state your name. Does anybody abstain? State your name, please. Okay, I think we have achieved a new Objective 5, and Stefan, you may communicate that to the working group, and also, of course, it needs to be updated in the charter document as well. Any questions or comments?
Yeah, Chuck, just to ask Marika if she can send me the definitive text so I can send it to...
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Sorry to take so long on this one. Let's jump on ahead and... go to our next agenda item, which is the Who Is Studies. And we may not have 40 minutes anymore, Liz, but let's do the best we can on this one. Now, let me just do a little preface here. We are not planning on taking any action on this in our meeting today, but we need to at least map out how we can get to a decision with regard to any budget recommendations in this regard by our next meeting on the 21st. Any questions on that? Okay. Liz, and you can, everyone can see the various links there. Liz, you're on for your presentation.
Okay. Thanks so much, Chuck, and thanks, everyone. I will try to breeze through this quickly, but there is quite a bit of content. I really hope that folks have taken the time or will to read the two reports that we've posted. One was from the 23rd and really looks at the first set of study areas, and I'll explain that in a moment. And the second was posted on the 26th and is a first draft of an inventory of who is service requirements that I'll also go into some detail here. And that will save – I do want to go into a little bit of background on the genesis of these studies and what the purpose and intent was. And before I do that, I just also want to make sure that people are aware of two additional folks on the call today. Steve Shang, who is an ICANN technical analyst who works most closely with the SX but also supports some of my work on WHOIS. He is the primary author of this second report that I'll provide an overview on in the second part of my presentation. So he's on the line with us. And then also Lisa Pfeiffer, an outside consultant to ICANN, who's been helping me formulate my analysis of the other study areas. So we've got a couple of guests, if you will, on the call as well. So just going through these slides, this is a difficult chart to read, but I wanted to start with it because there – well, I'm going to back up one more time. The goal of the Who Is Studies was really that there'd been quite a bit of debate and conversation about Who Is policies with a lot of differing perspectives that I've reviewed in many previous presentations. And the underlying hope on the part of the council in initiating studies or my investigation into studies was that study data would provide an objective, factual basis for future policymaking. So I think that's a really important thing to emphasize, and as I give my presentation of what we've done today, I hope you'll mostly be thinking about in the ways in which the studies that I'm describing might be helpful in providing a objective, factual basis for further policymaking. I think that's really the number one consideration for the council, among other issues. So there is history here. Back in 2007, the council had concluded a policy effort on Who Is that did not actually lead to a policy recommendation, and instead, in light of the controversy and difficulty navigating to a consensus policy on Who Is, at that time identified that it would be good to have studies that would provide this factual basis for policymaking, and it took us from November of 2007 to basically August or September of 2008 to collect studies from a wide variety of individuals, constituencies, and the GAC, which provided us with 20-some proposals of its own that were quite lengthy, and we spent a lot of time in a working group format looking at the proposals, making sure they were written in the form of testable hypotheses, trying to get clarification where needed to make sure hypotheses were expressed in a way that could be easily understood and analyzed by researchers, and with the idea, and also went through a very lengthy prioritization exercise, which included all of the constituencies weighing in about the priorities among all these many studies that had been proposed that they thought ought to go to be examined first. So the council identified, as a result of all that work, in March of 2009, a set of studies that they wanted us to begin with to take a look at. And these are the studies that they asked me to determine costs and feasibility on and they are listed in this chart here. So I just want to very quickly give you an overview of where all these studies stand, and then I'll do a deep dive into each one. So on the Who Is Misuse study that we, again, collapsed several different original GNSO proposals into this category of studies, was one of two that we began with, and we decided for the Who Is Misuse studies and for number two listed there, the Who Is Registrant Identification study, that in order to determine cost and feasibility, we would publish terms of reference for a basically a request for proposals from interested researchers, qualified independent researchers, to give us as staff a better idea of what the cost and feasibility would be. I didn't feel that we had the expertise on staff to try to make those determinations of how much these studies would cost and the extent to which they were feasible without soliciting this RFP. It was quite useful and helping us identify challenges and also where methodologies that researchers provided demonstrate that certain studies were, in fact, tractable. So that turned out, I think, to be a useful approach, and we have engaged in that approach for studies one and two, and those are the areas that I'm going to go into more detail on today. There is a section in my first report that deals with the studies that I refer to in number three, Who Is Proxy and Privacy Abuse and Reveal Studies, but we have not yet initiated the RFP process on either of those, and I'll explain that in just a moment. There was a fourth area of study that has to do with the impact of non-ASCII registration information on accuracy and readability. It would be a technical analysis of how entry of non-ASCII registration information would be displayed by various client-side software. And we've recommended that this study be placed on hold pending the work of a currently convened ESSAC GNSO Internationalized Registration Data Working Group, which is underway. We've asked that group to consider whether this study should be done or whether there's other work that they think would be more useful in trying to develop a path forward on whether a standard should be implemented for that purpose. So I'm not addressing that study at all in today's briefing. And then there was a later study requested by the Council, these first four, again, in March of 2009, a later request in May of 2009 for staff to compile a list of Who Is service requirements that would be based on current deficiencies that have already been identified in Who Is in previous documents and discussions, and then also policy recommendations that have been made in previous discussions, and I'll be giving you an update on what we've done with that report, sort of as part two of the presentation I'm giving right now. Staff did publish a draft report. We'll take you through at a very high level what's in that draft report, and we'll describe a little bit about what information we're seeking from the various SOs and ACs, including the GNSO, on that report. So this is just an overview chart of everything I'm going to cover today, and it also provides a cross-reference to study proposals that were originally requested, which will mean more to those of you who were around and following this process in 2008, really, but is helpful for that cross-reference, and happy to answer any questions related to this slide at the appropriate time. So let me move on to Who Is Misuse Studies. This is a category of studies that is intended to assess whether public Who Is significantly increases harmful acts and also to assess the impact of anti-harvesting measures. And what we did here was take a number of different study proposals that, again, came in from the community, from the GAC, and from interested individuals and organizations, and we parsed out those suggestions and we said, you know, what they're really saying here is that there are probably two different ways that we could approach a study of misuse. One would we affectionately call a descriptive study. The other we refer to as an experimental study. The descriptive study is the one listed as number one here, which would survey registrants, registrars, research and law enforcement organizations about past harmful acts. And the idea would really be to identify or ask them to identify incidents where that they experienced, where they believe misused WHOIS data, and this would be a survey of registrants to, about the incidents that they experienced, which they believe misused WHOIS data, but would also survey registrars and registries about how WHOIS data can be queried, and survey cybercrime researchers and law enforcement organizations about reported incidents. So this is one type of approach to a misuse study that was recommended and that we asked researchers to assess. And then the other was what we're calling an experimental study, which is number two here. The idea there would be to classify various kinds of harmful messages received by test domains that were registered with a representative sample of registrars, and then compare rates for public versus non-public addresses, and compare the anti-harvesting impact. So basically, these two studies are using different methodologies to go after trying to get a handle on this misuse issue or concern. And I do want to make the point that particularly on this experimental study, it's intended to go beyond a study that the ESAC previously did that some of you may be familiar with, and that it will examine a statistically larger or more meaningful sample. It'll look at domains beyond those that just send spam, and it would attempt to correlate the occurrences with measures that might reduce spam or reduce misuse, with the caveat that we are concerned that this correlation might end up needing to be a loose correlation. So when we turn to analyze, so again, we wrote the terms of reference raising these questions based on some discussion that we had, preliminary discussion with members of the community, proposers of the studies, and actually the council had a chance to weigh in on these terms of reference as well. Requested RFPs for 60 days, got back 3 responses, and have deduced, based on our analysis, that there was, of these responses, one that I think would was definitely recommended the preferred approach, and that definitely demonstrated that we could count and categorize a variety of harmful acts attributed to WHOIS misuse and show that the data was probably not obtained from other sources. There could be some acts that are too difficult to measure, like some that were suggested to us by members of the community, like, for example, stalking or things like that, but that it would be more difficult to tie WHOIS queries directly to acts, which makes it difficult to prove that reductions in misuse were caused by specific anti-harvesting measures, and we also thought that it would be difficult to assess whether measured misuse is significant. Sorry, I should have advanced the slide there to the points that I was making. So that's kind of our high-level analysis. I definitely recommend that you read the report if you haven't for our detailed analysis of the misuse studies. We did attempt to present this in as objective and kind of neutral way in terms of the information that we solicited and got back. And why don't I quickly move to the registrant identification study. And
Liz, before you do that, now, what are the chances of the hypothesis that was formulated for the first set of studies being confirmed or refuted with the first study? First studies.
Yeah, I think what's really the biggest challenge was the measurable degree of misuse. What is significant or measurable? And that's the part of the hypothesis that presents, I think, the biggest challenge.
But there are aspects of the hypothesis that these studies could likely contribute to. Is that correct? Another way to phrase the question.
The value, I think, would be that it would count and categorize many different kinds of harmful acts, you know, that are attributed to who is, and demonstrate that misuse data was probably not obtained from sources other than who is, which would be more reliably of utility for the experimental study than the survey study. And with regard to anti-harvesting measures, that we could hope to correlate multiple registrar types of anti-harvesting measures, that we can't prove that reductions were caused by those specific measures. So I guess I'd say there would be some utility, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to prove the hypothesis as articulated. And if Lisa wants to comment more, you know, she is on the call, and I welcome that. But that's how
Lisa, do you want to add anything there?
Yeah, so I think that Liz got to the crux of it. We believe, based on the responses that we got, that actually really tightly tying specific incidents of misuse to actually accessing who is public data in order to originate that request, really tightly proving that relationship, nobody seems to be able to come up with a way to do that. However, we can definitely, based on the responses we got, demonstrate that there's some kind of correlation between those two things. The harder thing that we found in the responses is that nobody seemed to have a really good idea about determining the actual impact on registrants, how significant that misuse was. If you can count the incidents, but determining how impactful it is a tough question.
Thank you very much. Okay, Liz, go ahead and go to the next one. We've got about 12 more minutes on this agenda item now. Sorry to...
All right, so I'm going to ratchet it up. You know, this is a description of the registrant identification study. You know, I think the point here is that perhaps actual domain user's identity is obscured by a proxy or privacy service, or suggests that the registrant is a non-business entity that might be acting without commercial purpose. And I think, you know, it's important to note that registrants aren't required to identify their domain name as purpose, this study would, you know, look at the extent to which commercial registrations appear to be registered by natural persons or for non-commercial activities. And then getting to the analysis, you've got the estimated cost there and, you know, rough time frame for completion. I think, you know, we got different approaches differed in terms of how long the study would take and the degree of manual versus automated filtering and analysis that could be used. And ultimately, we think there's probably a pragmatic approach recommended that would automate some of the classification and content gathering to actually execute this study, but perform a significant amount of the analysis manually. So... you know, that's kind of what would be involved in this study. I think the study seems tractable, although I do believe some of the domains will be hard to classify. And, you know, I've tried to identify some ways in which I think the results might be useful in the slide there, which we can talk more about at the appropriate time. There are a couple of these other studies, the privacy and proxy abuse study that we were asked to look into and also develop costs on. We do have a draft RFP for this study almost complete because we've done quite a bit of work discussing this study and thinking about it. And we, you know, plan to release this unless the council suggests otherwise. It would study a broad sample of domains associated with many kinds of problematic acts and compare it to the overall frequency of privacy and proxy registrations. And I do think that probably is a topic that would be of interest and concern to many people. And we were also asked to look at a privacy and proxy reveal study that would measure proxy service responsiveness to reveal requests that present evidence of actionable harm, and that is presenting some challenges to us in terms of developing terms of reference for an RFP. So we had promised the community and the council that we would provide our feedback when it was available, you know, even if that meant it would be sequentially and not concurrently. And so that's what we're doing with this report, giving you the information that we have on the first two study areas, trying to give you a fulsome update on the two study areas we haven't gotten to yet. We've talked about the non-ASCII who is and skipping over that. And I want to just very quickly mention that Steve Sheng has drafted a response to the second request that the GNSM Council made in May of last year, which is an entirely different kind of report. It's a compilation of, you know, again, existing requirements, features identified as needing improvement, features that support past policy proposals, features identified by other ICANN SOs and ACs. And I want to emphasize when you do read through this report that when we talk about requirements and what was intended, I think, for us to supply the community in producing this report, that that requirements was intended to mean technical requirements, that we were not attempting to gather policy requirements or to recommend policy in any way, but rather to provide a kind of baseline inventory for future conversations. And I've just provided a list here on this slide and on the next slide of, I guess I got them all on one slide, of some of the areas that you'll see Steve has addressed in the report. We are, the original resolution asking for input or asking us to do this work also asked us to solicit consultation with other SOs and ACs. We're asking for comments back by May 17th in order to produce a final report by Brussels. And when we think about next timeline and next steps for this whole project, what I'm proposing really is that the council discuss more urgently these first two study areas because there needs to be consideration of what funding is desired in the context of the fiscal year 2011 budget process. But I also think it would be prudent to consider when doing so what the value that you think is of considering next steps on the WHO is Service Requirements Report and what the level of priority you would attach to that effort versus trying to initiate studies that really attempt to provide facts related to policy. So we've got technical and then we've got policy. You definitely want to make sure to feed into the fiscal year 11 budget process in the short interval that remains on that, and then, you know, give us a high sign in terms of our finalizing RFPs on the remaining policy, privacy and proxy services. But you probably do want to be mindful of the level of importance that you would place on doing those studies when you consider what overall budget should be provided for RFPs. And then finally, before I stop talking, I want to just thank those of you who have already started to give thought to this and sent me questions and thoughts, and particularly those of you who've taken a look at the WHO is data accuracy study that was initiated out of ICANN's compliance department, because I do think that they're, you know, all studies are useful, all information is useful, and if there are takeaways from a policy perspective in terms of the data provided by that report, we don't want to miss that opportunity to make use of that report in a policy context if we see that as relevant. So why don't I stop there?
Okay, thanks, Liz. If you have questions, please raise your hand, or if you can't do that, speak up. A couple things to set the context here. The tentative goal right now for our meeting on the 21st of April, 20 days from now, will be to, first of all, try to make a decision in terms of budget requests for WHO studies. Understand that there are no funds in the budget framework that's posted for public comment right now for WHO studies. Okay, we need to give some guidance. That budget needs to be finalized by May 17th, and it'd be helpful to have some lead time to do that. So we're going to try and cover that and hopefully make a decision in terms of budget recommendations or requests in our meeting on the 21st. Now, secondly, item 5 on Liz's slides, the WHO is requirements initial report. We will also try and address that in a little more detail on the 21st. Hopefully we can get to it in that meeting. It'll depend on time, but so you'll want to make sure that your groups review that and be prepared there. Now, a question for you, Liz. If any stakeholder groups or constituencies would like to arrange a session where you could go over this presentation with a little more time and answer their questions, are you available along with your colleagues to do that, assuming
yes.
that time could be arranged?
Yes, my
okay.
pleasure.
So please be aware of that in your stakeholder groups and constituencies, that if you would like to pursue this a little bit further, that's an option you could coordinate with Liz and her team. Now, anybody have questions that they would like to ask? I'm not seeing any hands. If you haven't looked at that report, I encourage you to do so. It's a very thorough report. In essence, and I'm glad to see some hands going up, we're going to need to provide some budget direction and in terms of how much we need to put in a request for funds for WHO is studies for fiscal year 11. Otherwise, these things get put off maybe another year, and I think that would be very unfortunate. Rosemary.
Yes, one of my questions, sorry, Chuck, was how this work links to the affirmation of commitment comment about WHO is.
Somebody from staff want to respond to that? I'll respond while you're thinking about it. I think there's a connection. I think you bring up a very good point. Certainly the affirmation does talk about WHO is studies. I don't know that any of these or all of these would fully complete that particular objective in the affirmation, but I certainly think it would contribute in that regard. Somebody on staff want to jump in on that?
I agree. It's Liz.
Okay. Yeah, I think it does. That's a good point, Rosemary. So. Hopefully we'll get a better feel for that as we move forward. Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind Council that at the Nairobi meeting after Liz's presentation, Bruce Tonkin made the suggestion that in his mind, which is not necessarily echoed by all of the Finance Committee, it would be reasonable for Council to set a request for envelope funding. I think his example was $500,000, and defer the decision on exactly which studies to do, but to get the overall funding request in. Now, I had significant discussion with Bruce and others after that meeting, and it's not clear that this is a standard way of operating, but it certainly sounded like something that some people advocate and I think is a positive way forward.
Thank you, Alan. Tim.
I forgot I was on mute. In regards to what has and hasn't been budgeted, there is the inventory of WHO is service requirements that we asked to have done, and so I assume that there's nothing in the budget as far as, or that's been contemplated as far as undertaking any actual work in modifying the WHO is protocol or would be entailed in that in the fiscal year 2011 budget. Is that?
I think that's correct, Tim. That particular issue is probably going to be a policy issue that we're going to have to deal with at some point. But I don't think...
And we likely wouldn't have any, we probably wouldn't have an answer to ask on within fiscal year 2011 anyway, right? So the other question I have is in regards to the studies on internationalized characters within the WHO is, if that's something that's seen as falling within our purview to try to request budgets for? Is that being considered separately, budgeted separately? It's, you know, certainly FYI for us to keep an eye on, but not something that we would typically be concerned about as far as the budget is concerned. Is that correct?
Excellent question. It is something that we need to at least keep in the back of our minds, and I think Liz pointed to that a little bit. That particular working group, you know, has been asked, you know, do they think a study would be useful, or do they think they're going to be able to pull that information together without a formal study done like these others? So it is feasible that they would recommend some study that would need funding as well. Unfortunately, we won't have that kind of information going into the fiscal year 11 budget finalization. But you're right. I mean, it could, by you know, the second half of the fiscal year, be ready for a study that we will or will not have budgeted for. So that's a possibility. Just like study number three, or studies in number three there, we won't know either whether that's going to be a viable study until past the time for the budget finalization. So, I mean, we can put requests, general funds that could be applied later. That's an option. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I'm just concerned with that one as far as making sure we're clear as to whether we need to consider that in our budget request, because once that comes to fruition, I have a feeling it'll probably be a fairly high priority to act on because of, the new IDNs. And so I didn't want to assume that wasn't something we had to be concerned with right now.
Excellent point. It's a very important issue for us to consider. Terry.
Yeah, I just wanted to second Tim's point there. I think that's going to be one of our big issues in the jig as well.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things, and that's why on the 21st, we're going to want to try to start coming to some sort of a resolution with regard to how many funds we think we should request. Alan's right that we don't necessarily, I mean, we could postpone identifying particular studies. It's probably helpful from the sake of getting some of this work going if we can decide to recommend a particular study or more than one study. There are only two sets of them on the table right now. That's probably helpful because this has taken a long time, and I think the whole community would be very happy if we're making some progress in that regard. But between now and the 21st, then, all of us have a lot of work to do in this regard to evaluate this and hopefully come up with some recommendations for studies. And I know that some constituencies have already talked about that some. So, and I appreciate that. And now, Alan, are you in the queue?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And Rosemary, are you still in the queue?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Well, Rosemary, you were first. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a number of suggestions that I will follow up with Liz in more detail, but I just wanted to highlight my interests, Chuck, for the
count.
Sorry, the connect.
Sorry about that. Go ahead, Rosemary.
Okay. I would like for each of the studies, when they come to us to have our discussion about whether to recommend them, I'd like the reports to identify which policy issues the study is relevant to. I'd like the report to outline the range of different concerns that various stakeholder groups may have at the highest possible level, just so that we can all be aware of the hot buttons, if you like, for other people in the other groups in the council when we're discussing these matters. I'd also be interested in practically, and again at a very high level, what sort of tools would we be using? Once we've identified a problem and we've worked out that something would need to be done, I'm interested to understand what tools we have to do that something. Are we talking about a policy statement or an amendment to a registration agreement or a compliance approach or some law enforcement strategy? So in making our recommendations, I think that sort of scaffolding would help the discussion. Thank you.
Now, let me respond to your last question, Rosemary.
Yep.
I think your last point there probably goes back to the original intent of having these studies done or considered to be done, and that is so that it would help us in the policymaking process. So depending on the data that comes back, that may actually give us data to pursue specific policies. Now, those policies, if approved and implemented, could result in changes to registry agreements, et cetera. But it would be a policy development effort that could possibly result, maybe more than one, from this data. Does that answer that question?
Yes. If I take my issue up just a higher level, Chuck, what I'm interested in is perhaps next steps after the study. What sort of next steps would be implied?
Right, and then it comes back to the council and whether or not we want to pursue some PDPs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, I think, Liz, that Rosemary's first request you could possibly respond to. Is that correct?
I want to be sure I understand. The first one was sort of what are the policy issues that are implicated by each study?
Yes.
That is fair. So, for example, let's just take Ms. Yis.
Don't try to answer it now, please, because we don't have time. But that, is that something you could respond to?
I would put out a straw man and want be, you know, not I want it to be viewed as a working discussion with input from others.
Good.
Let's
approach it that way.
That's the best way, Chuck, because I'm just coming up to speed on this, so I would rather have a longer discussion with Liz, and then if there are matters that really need an open discussion, we can bring them back to council at the next meeting where we discuss the WHOIS studies again.
Now, with the second one, Rosemary, just trying to understand, like, where people have the positions that people have taken in the past, where the community is on these various. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I'm trying to understand, and please, this is absolutely just a straw man, that for the registrar group, the concern will always be about the commercial implications of whatever we're doing. For various parties in non-commercial stakeholder group, there's a core issue about privacy considerations. It's at that sort of level,
right,
so that we get a whole picture of the balancing that needs to be done when we're trying to seek consensus on which studies to go ahead with, and then beyond that, which policies to work on.
Right, but that's like when you said the non-commercial, just as a quick illustration, you're quite right about the privacy, but there's also, you know, quite a few, I think, hacks within that group that would also say, we have to also have concerns about consumers, and some of the consumer concerns might be in conflict with what you might optimally seek in the way of privacy, and so, I can certainly do my best. What was that was the second, and then once we have a policy.
The third one was really, you know,
we covered the third one.
Okay,
yes,
very
good.
Thank you.
And Rosemary, you might want to put in, with regard to your second one, it's probably going to be a little tougher for Liz to respond to that, because what you're really asking for is the positions of various stakeholder groups and constituencies in the community and even consumers and so forth. So what you might consider doing is putting out a question on the council list in that regard to see if you can get some responses that way as well. I'm sure Liz can provide some, but that's probably more from the rest of us from the GNSO community.
Would do, Chuck, is just derive it from that specific report from the spring of 2000, whenever it was.
And that would be good, but there may be, you know, updates to that.
Absolutely, because people
are considered.
You're right, exactly.
Okay, I'm sorry to rush a little bit here, but Alan?
Yeah, I strongly support what was said earlier about IDN within WHOIS. And I agree that once we're ready to do something, the priority is going to be pretty high because of implementation of IDNs more widely. As a result, I would suggest council explicitly ask staff, is this work
that we would have to fund relative to other WHOIS studies, or is this something that will be funded as part of the overall IDN implementation? I would hope that the latter is the answer, but I think we need to do it before requesting even envelope funding.
Right, right. And my guess is that it will be up to us to request it, that it won't just automatically be included in the budget. But Liz, could you follow up on that to see if you can get any insight from on the IDN side of the house?
Certainly, it's an absolute part of implementing IDN. So I hope that's not the answer, but you may be right.
Yeah, I understand. But WHOIS is a complicated issue that's never been really resolved in the IDN world. So we'll see how that goes.
And we've been very careful to distinguish what's going on in that IRD working group with anything, in any way that would hold up delay or be specifically tied to IDN deployment, which it's not. It's a phenomenon that's occurring independent of IDN deployment.
Okay,
Chuck,
can I just make a quick comment about that, too?
Yeah, as long as it's quick, because we need to move on.
It's just that international contact data, internationalized contact data, has been something users have wanted to use even for ASCII TLDs. So that's the thing we have to consider.
Yes, and this is really a critical area. I totally agree with that. I want to jump down to agenda items 3.4 and 3.5. How are we going to get to a possible decision or close to a decision by our next meeting? Would it be useful to form a small drafting team to come up with some recommendations? Do people have other ideas? I just want to spend a couple minutes on this because we don't even have that. But keeping in mind that we're going to have to give some guidance with regard to a budget request, as soon as possible. Any ideas? I mean, should we form a small working group? Should we just each of us in stakeholder groups and constituencies come up with some recommendations and put them on the council list? Anybody want to speak to that? Okay. We're going to have to come up with some. So let me suggest then that each of us in the next week or so, any recommendations for how to move this thing forward be posted on the council list so that we can interact on the list and try and formulate in the next couple weeks a possible way forward in terms of making a decision about what kind of funds we want to request and how we want to designate those or just leave them open for later decision. Going on then to agenda item 4, we're going to skip that. My apologies, Olga. Let me just very quickly say that group is going to very likely have recommendations for prioritization methodology for our meeting on the 21st, so we'll need quite a bit of time on that later. Jumping to item 5. The status updates, those are available. I apologize in the cases where the chairs have not updated their reports. There are quite a few of those this time. Certainly those of you that are on the various work teams and working groups and so forth, anything you can do to encourage your chairs to respond to those would be appreciated. Going then to item 6, any other business, there are some things there, and it's related to a couple other things. In particular, the board resolution 20 from the board meeting in Nairobi. There is a motion on the table that has been made, and you may want to click over to the motions in that regard, and so that you can see those. It's under the April 1 motions, and I'm sure it's up on the screen now. I'm over at the motion itself. There's been one friendly amendment, actually occurs in a couple places, but it's deemed friendly, and that was Wolf's amendment. We don't need to do anything with that. It's the small changes that were made in that regard are highlighted where the word applicant was added three times down in the resolutions themselves. There's another amendment that has been suggested and an alternative to it. Tim, I want to put you on the spot here. Are you okay with Rafiq's rewording of your suggested amendment?
Yeah, I kind of responded to that late on the list, but this is Tim, yes, we're okay,
okay
with that.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I haven't been able to watch my email along with everything else, so I didn't see it before we started. So then that becomes a friendly amendment. So just to make it clear for everybody, if you look at the motion and you look at the one, two, three, the fourth whereas, there will be the second bullet there would be the friendly amendment to that fourth whereas clause. Was Rafiq able to join us on the call? Did we get through
yes.
to him?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good, good. Rafiq, would you be willing to read your motion with the with your amendment, your wording in the amendment for to the fourth whereas?
I need to check the
If you'd rather have someone else do it, that's perfectly okay. Since you made the motion,
yes.
I was going to give you the opportunity, but I'm flexible.
Okay, please.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Olga, you seconded it. I'll give you an opportunity.
No, I just want to say something. If I'm not mistaken, I have seen Tim's message on the list. Tim has proposed another addition to the proposed text, so it could be good if maybe I'm saying it wrong, but I just check it during the call. Tim, is this okay that you added something to it?
Tim, is there something new that you've added last minute?
Yeah, when I in my response to indicate that we were fine with the rewording that Rafiq proposed. In our discussions, another request came up that the motion state that the goal of not creating further delays to the new GTLD process. So that would, and the proposal was that would be added to that same paragraph at the end. So at the end where it says, keeping in mind the GNSO implementation guideline to recover the cost of new GTLD applications and ongoing services to new GTLDs, and the goal of not creating further delays to the new GTLD process. If that's the suggested additional amendment. That we intend to be friendly.
Okay, and Rafiq, do you consider that to be friendly?
Yes, I consider it friendly amendment.
Olga?
Yes, that's okay for me.
Okay. Now, Olga, would you want to read the motion with the amendments?
Yeah, sure. It's the one on the screen now.
Yes, with the addition okay. But it's the one on the screen, unless it changes. Well, I'm not. I better go over to the screen because I'm in a different place. So, Marika, were you able to add the latest amendment in that?
Yes, I think it was.
Okay, good. So yes, Olga, it should be the one on the screen.
Okay, can I start when it says resolved?
You better read the whereases because that's where some of the amendments
are. Okay, great. Whereas ICANN aims to ensure that the new GTLD program is inclusive along the lines of the organization's strategic objectives, whereas numerous stakeholders have on various occasions expressed concern about the cost of applying and about the material requirements for new GTLDs and suggested that this cost and material conditions might hinder applicants requiring assistance, especially those from developing regions, from cultural linguistic groups, and from nonprofit groups such as philanthropies, whereas on 13 March 2010, the ICANN board adopted Resolution 20, that's a link there, requesting that stakeholders work with their respective ACs and SOs to form a working group that provides a sustainable approach to providing support to applicants requiring assistance for and operating new GTLDs, whereas the GNSO Council desires to form a joint working group, with other interesting supporting organizations and advisory committees to fulfill this board request and to develop a sustainable approach to providing support to such new GTLD applicants, keeping in mind the GNSO implementation guideline to recover the cost of new GTLD applications and ongoing services to new GTLDs. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council supports the formation of a joint SOAC working group to respond to the board's request by developing a sustainable approach to providing support to new GTLD applicants requiring assistance in applying for and operating new GTLDs, keeping in mind the GNSO implementation guideline to recover the cost of new GTLD applications and ongoing services to new GTLDs, and the goal of not creating further delays to the new GTLD process. Resolved further that Rafik Damak shall serve as GNSO Council liaison for this joint SOAC working group. Resolved further that the GNSO Council Chair shall within 48 hours of this motion inform the chairs of other SOs and ACs of this action and encourage their participation. Resolve further that ICANN staff shall within 7 calendar days of this motion identify and assign applicable staff support for this working group and arrange for support tools such as a mailing list, website, and other tools as needed. Resolve further that the staff support assigned to this working group shall within 48 hours after the support tools are arranged, distribute an invitation for working group participants as widely as possible within the SOAC community. Resolve further that the new GTLD applicant support working group shall...
Did we lose Olga?
Sounds like it.
Okay, let's see. She was at... She was at resolve further that the staff support. Oh, that was already read, wasn't it? Or was she in the middle? Let me start with that one. Resolve further that the staff support assigned to this working group shall within 48 hours after the support tools are arranged distribute invitation for working group participants as widely as possible within the SOAC community. Resolve further that the new GTLD applicant support working group.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay, go ahead, pick up there.
I think it's the last. Paragraph, right?
I think the third to the last.
Okay. Resolve further that the staff support assigned to this working group shall within 48 hours after the support tools are arranged distribute an invitation for working group participants as widely as possible within the SOAC community. Resolve further that the new GTLD applicant support working group shall initiate its activities within 28 days after the approval of this motion. Until such time as the working group can select a chair and that chair can be confirmed by the participating SO and ACs, the GNSO Council liaisons shall act as interim co-chair with the liaisons from other SOs and ACs. And that's it.
There's two more resolves.
Sorry. I didn't see them. Resolve further that the new GTLD applicant support working group shall, as its first action items, one, elected chair or co-chairs, the two, establish meeting times as needed, and three, develop a proposed charter describing its tasks and schedule of deliverables for approval by the participating SOs and ACs. Resolve further that the new GTLD applicant support working group shall deliver its initial recommendation for community comment in time for discussion at the Brussels ICANN meeting.
In any discussion, questions, comments, and while you're considering that, Alan, I believe you can confirm that the ALAC has already supported participation in this working group. Is that correct?
We have not taken formal action yet, but we strongly support it, and we will be taking action. Our next meeting is not till the end of this month, but we will take action by an electronic vote before that.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Does anyone object to a voice vote? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 If you're opposed, please state your name. If you abstain, please state your name. Okay, that
just
motion, was there somebody?
This is Wendy, just noting for the record that while Mary had to drop off the call earlier, she wanted to note her support for this motion.
Thank you very much. We can't actually count it because it says absentee ballot
right.
is not allowed.
That was
but
why
but
I, just
I appreciate
to
you. I appreciate you sharing that, though. That's very good to know. So thank you. All right. So we got to that one. Let me bear with me a second here, where I get back to the agenda, and we're on the. Item 6.2, are sufficient funds included in the fiscal 11 budget framework to cover GNSO improvements? And if you skip down to item 7, I actually listed two of them there that I think are going to be a little bit costly. For example, the toolkit of services and the website improvements, which are desperately needed, I think, in the GNSO. But as all of you know, because most of you have been working on GNSO improvements for years, you know, it's really important that there are sufficient funds. It's difficult to tell when you analyze the budget whether there's enough there or not because there's not enough detail. Now, my understanding by the May 17th version of the budget, there will be more detail added. I personally have I gave comments in Nairobi as well as via the registry constituency that I'm concerned that there's probably not enough funds for fiscal year 11 for GNSO improvements, and I think it would be unfortunate if after all this work for many, many years and we're getting to a point where we're going to have the implementation plans finalized that we ran short of funds. So I have suggested that that be looked at again and that the consideration for more funds being added there be done. It might be useful if I did that on behalf of the council, but I can't do that unless the council so directs me to do so. Would anyone be opposed to me, and today's the deadline for comments, to me submitting a comment on behalf of the council that we are concerned that there might not be enough funds for GNSO improvements and that we would encourage a more careful look at that and some additional funds being added? I don't think I could be much more specific than that because we don't have enough detail. Anybody opposed? If anybody's opposed to that, I won't do that on behalf of the council.
Hey, Chuck, this is Tim.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim. I'll get back over to the where I can see the hands. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm not opposed to that, per se. I think that's a reasonable use of funds or a need for funds, as is, you know, whatever we perhaps may decide to request to have set aside or included for the WHOIS studies and those issues. So those are two things. And then another thing that I think has come up, at least on the travel planning call that we had, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, was it there's some indication that there may be an increased request from some in the council or some of the stakeholder groups for additional travel funding. So I guess my only concern is just that if we're going to have these kinds of requests, that we try to have some sort of idea of what they're all going to be so we don't keep piecemealing because it's difficult to say, well, we support additional funds if we don't know what all the requests are going to entail. So I don't know if that's something we can maybe discuss on the 21st as a part of that discussion. But I would be keenly interested in knowing what other requests we may be expecting in regards to travel funding. Excuse me.
It sounds like the requests you're talking about, and I haven't seen any of them, so I don't know, are more related to specific stakeholder groups or constituencies. The GNSO improvements area is a broader one that impacts us all. And the comments for the budget framework are due today. Now, that doesn't mean we can't talk about it on the 21st, but it would be good if we're going to do it that I submit, even if it's a paragraph today in that regard. Liz.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, it was really just to encourage that. I know Rob provided some feedback on some of the GNSO improvement things that we're continuing to work on, but I just want to reiterate very much Kevin Wilson's plea for input from the various communities, and I think it would be really appropriate and would encourage you to look at even, as you say, a short submission that would even identify as bullet potential funding for travel, for who is, for GNSO improvements. One other thing that occurred to me to bring to your attention was, we had that experience with one of the GNSO improvements work teams wanting a face-to-face meeting in the last trimester, and there were concerns about doing it and concerns about funding for it. And I just note that there are, a number of high-interest PDPs right now underway, like the Vertical Integration PDP, where if anyone's thinking that they're going to need a face-to-face meeting, or that whether there would be huge utility in that, that might be something timely to throw in there as well.
And let me suggest that if any of you want to submit comments in any of those areas, that it would be very good to do that. I think for us as a council to start dealing with a laundry list of things here probably doesn't work since the comment period ends today. Mike.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. I kind of follow on the comments of Tim and Liz, but they both were really making a lot of the points that I wanted to make, which I would just synopsize as saying, where do GNSO improvements fit within all the other council priorities and working groups that are happening now and expected in the next fiscal year? I'm a little concerned about calling them out specifically, although I understand there's a deadline, I guess, for that purpose right now. The prioritization work is going on, I guess, and we should be coming to a conclusion on that pretty soon. But, personally, I don't believe that the GNSO improvements are all that high of a priority if we have a limited budget that needs to be spread amongst a bunch of different things.
So, Mike, to get to the point, you would rather I don't submit a comment in that regard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, just for clarity, are you asking whether you should submit a comment specifically saying that ICANN should fund GNSO improvements requirements or that there should be more specificity so when the May budget comes out we know whether they are doing it or not?
Oh, well, they've already committed to showing more specificity, so I don't think we need to say that.
Okay.
But I was saying the other.
Okay.
Tim.
Yeah, and so So this wouldn't be including a dollar amount, because I think my point was that without knowing what everyone is expecting or thinks it needs to be a part of this funding, it's difficult to say, here's some number that we think needs to be added.
Right. Let me put it to rest. I am not going to submit a comment because there's an objection, okay? I was only going to do it if there were no objections, okay? We don't have time to vote on it and see what kind of support there is. So I'm going to put that to rest. I wanted to throw it out, and I got the response I needed. Thank you. Anything else that anybody needs to cover on in terms of any other business?
Chuck, Stefan here.
Stefan, go ahead.
Thanks. So I just want to say, still on the last point, I actually think it's a shame that we decide not to have you submit a comment just based on one person objecting. I understand your desire not to go ahead because there is an objection, but I was wondering when the time limit comments was and if we had a little more time to discuss this on the list maybe.
Well, of course, there will be a comment period after May 17th, so there's nothing to prevent us from commenting after that. And just because of time constraints, I don't want to stretch this meeting any longer than it already is because we're already over. And my recommendation, unless there's a lot of objections, is that we look at that again when the draft budget is posted on May 17th, and that we consider commenting at that time. Now, Mike, is your hand still up?
No, sorry, Chuck.
Okay. Rosemary.
Yes, Chuck, I'm not sure what the budgetary process is in ICANN, but my experience would suggest we're better to mention in the preparation of a draft budget phase, we're better to indicate our need for some funds, even if subsequently we come back and say we need $0 because this is not a priority for us.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, the deadline is today, so we don't really have time to work through the details of that, and that's why I approach it the way I did. Let's work towards possibly some.
Well, I'm expressing my support for your approach, Chuck.
Thank you. If people want to take a quick poll, we can. I'm trying to not stretch the meeting longer than we already have.
Chuck, this is David Olive. If I may.
Yes, David.
It might be, as I say, depending on your process and the agreement and consensus of the group, it would be helpful to have at least some indication at this stage the areas of direction or items that you would like to see action on going forward in FY11, and then you could fine-tune that any time between now and then, maybe at the 21st council meeting, to further submit that comment to the CFO. In other words, some comment is better than no comment.
Right. Let me suggest this again for the need to bring the meeting to a close. If you do, now I have already submitted personal comments to this effect, so I've covered it individually, okay? And we covered it in the registry stakeholder group yesterday in our meeting with Kevin and Kurt and three board members, et cetera. So what I suggest, those of you who can, if you do have a support or opposition for that matter to funding GNSO improvements, that you submit individual comments today. The deadline is today, and let's handle it that way rather than dragging it on. As soon as we start trying to detail things, there's just not time to do that right now. We certainly can do that after the May 17th posting.
Chuck, if I just say that the CFO welcomes comments between now and May 17th, and so please, that would be a good idea.
And is that, does it go to the same website?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's good to know. All right. Thank you very much. Anything else in this meeting? All right. I thank everybody for the cooperation. We accomplished a couple key things here that took some time, but I think it was worthwhile time. And we'll be talking on the list. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Happy Easter.
Very much.
Thank you.